So I want to welcome you this morning. It's great to have you with us here at Father's House online, but we're believing that God's providing and God's creating a way. And so we're looking forward to changes, especially as we roll now towards the end of this year and the start of 2023. I believe that next year is going to be awesome. I believe that there's going to be moves of God that's going to impact you, going to create this excitement in your heart. It's going to create you to jump up, bubble up, and overflow with what's in you. And what's in you is Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the living God. So there's an awakening that's stirring. It's bubbling. The seas are rising and the rivers are bubbling because of the glory of God that's sweeping across the UK. And so we're believing with all our hearts that we are in the midst of something great, a visitation again of the Lord Jesus Christ, a visitation of his angels coming to minister to the people in this locality and to bless it with the heart of a father. And the heart of a father is always to give what? Good gifts. So we bless you, Lord, today in Jesus' name. And Father, as we roll into this message today, what better way, Lord, to actually express your goodness, your faithfulness, your joy, your peace, your love over us is to talk about your goodness and what you've done to make a possible way for us to come into relationship with you. So we bless this message today, Lord, and let every ear that hears it come into relationship with you. Father, let every ear that's in relationship with you be awakened to a greater relationship. And we just release that peace of the Father over you right now. No matter what circumstance, no matter what hardship or trial that you're going through today, remember the words of the Lord that he has come to bless you, that he knows you and his heart is for you. He holds you in the palm of his hand and there's nothing that will pluck you out. So take courage, my friends, today. There is goodness and there is joy and there is peace that is surrounding you and walking you out of the scenario that you're in right now. So praise you, Jesus, for your goodness, your faithfulness, and we love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to share with you today just a truth message about the story of Jesus, what happened and why he came, why it was necessary for him to go to the cross at Calvary and actually die upon that cross, so that after 3 days, he would rise up out of the grave victorious. And, you know, he broke the keys and took the keys back of sin and death and rose up again to live with his Father in heaven. But in doing so, released a powerful, his holiness and his Spirit all over the church worldwide, that today we bubble and we glow because we have this Jesus already in us. His life is now flowing in our veins, and because of his sacrifice, we get reunited with the Father. And so we're going to unravel this today as we go through, but it's good news. So if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, as your friend, well, then listen to this today. This is your day, and at the end of this, you're going to have an opportunity to actually come into relationship. We're going to pray together, and you will pray this prayer with me, and out of that prayer, you will come into the kingdom of God. Your life will change. It will be transformed, never to be the same again, and you will know him as your friend, know him as your Savior, and know his power that will dwell inside you. So wait. Don't back off now. Stay with us and listen. This will blow your mind. This is a love story, the biggest love story you will ever have heard. And it's all about our Savior, the one we know already as Jesus Christ. And we're inviting you to listen to this today and then step into that relationship with the Father at the end. So we bless you. So I'm talking about blood. I'm talking about blood sacrifice. Now, this is not like we're saying this is, I'm not frightening you by talking about blood. You know, some of you can be squeamish. I know I've got a friend of mine, and you mentioned needle, and he's starting to faint. But you know, this is a truth message. This is the reality. This is the truth of the Word of God that actually brings blessing to you today. And the very blood that we have inside our bodies goes right back in our DNA, right back to the first man and woman that God created on the earth in the Garden of Eden. So you may not believe it, but you are directly a direct descendant of Adam and Eve. And so the same blood flow flows through you as flowed through them. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, and he made from one man, as Adam, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. So right from day one, God was orchestrating his planet, his people, because he had created it. And as a designer and a planner and a builder, then he's in charge and he knows where he's going with it. He knows where he's taking it and he knows what the end is going to be like. So we take hope in that today. So blood was actually in Adam and Eve and now flows Adam and Eve and now flows inside of us today. In Genesis 2 and verse 17, that's Genesis 2 verse 17. But from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For on that day that you eat from it, you will surely die. So we see here, this was the right back at the day dot that Adam and Eve were instructed by the Lord, don't touch. This is not for you. Don't touch it or you will bring death into you. And death, because they did, they took the apple or the fruit of the tree and they ate of it and death entered. And so the blood was contaminated and life was shortened. And so that as we know it, we live somewhere between 70 to 100, maybe 120 if we're really, really pushing the limits. But this life expectancy is no longer like it was back in the day when Adam and Eve were created to live eternally with God. And so God has this whole process that he set in motion to return the happenings in the garden back and to make it right. And we'll talk more about that in a few minutes, why that happened. But in our bloodstream is death, which we inherited way back from Adam and Eve when they were created. It has come down through the generations. And that death we know as sin, which we all inherit. None of us gets away from it. You're actually born because the bloodline passes from generation to generation. And because of the flow from Adam and Eve, we all get this inherited sin in our life, this contamination that God has a plan for to remedy. And we will speak about the remedy and how it came about in a few minutes. That's the good news today. There is a remedy. There is not a bad story at the end of this. There is good at the end of this. And you want to be part of it. So God gave and give the gift of choice, give that gift of free will to man so that man could actually make up his own mind and know his own heart and his own decisions. By one man's decision, we all carry sin, and the life flow of the blood is carried through from generation to generation, from a mother to a son or a daughter. We have it all and we need it to live. We need blood to live, because without blood, we're not going to be much use because we just will not survive. It's part of how we're made. So in the Old Testament, we see that God, because of what happened in the Adam and Eve scenario in the garden, God needed something to actually to bring what we call as atonement. So he allowed the use of animals to be brought and killed and burned on a stone altar and to offer up that sacrifice to God to bring an atonement. Now, atonement's a big word, but it's not used a big lot today. So let me explain to you what atonement actually is. Atonement is when I do something wrong, there needs to be something done that brings a rectification, brings a clarity to that, and overshadows what has actually been done in wrong, gets rectified. So it's a making right. And the dictionary says the action of making amends for a wrong or an injury committed. So that's what atonement really means. You know, and in the Old Testament, the word atonement is used 80 times. And in the New Testament, 101 times. So I'm going to give you an example here. This is just a quick example. If I knocked down your wall because I was driving recklessly one night and can see that you're upset by what I've done to your property, then I should have your wall rebuilt, or at very least pay you the amount it would cost for you to have it rebuilt. Now, that's how it really should operate. So I'm making reparation. I'm making restitution. I'm making right the damage that I done. And so atonement is about that. It's making right the damage that's been done. Atonement is the process by which God provided means to satisfy the need for a penalty for human sin, while still extending mercy to all people. The Messiah's voluntary sacrifice reconciled the need for both justice and mercy. The two go together. So justice says that sinners should die for violating the eternal's holy laws. That's not good news. But there is good news, because it gets better. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all mankind because all sinned. And we read that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Now that's just, that is justice. Now mercy says that sinners have to be excused from the penalty of the law if they are to be reconciled to God. So that means that the mercy of God, it makes a way to for the atonement to come in to repair the damage that's been done and to help make it right. And in Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's the good news. You're beginning to hear a little bit of it right now. We'll expand this shortly. And in verse 9, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him, through Christ Jesus. And in verse 10, for if while we were enemies, while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 11, and not only this, but we also celebrate in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So therefore, the atonement reconciles. It brings together these two characteristics of God in the perfect nature, the justice and the mercy. They are linked together. The justice would say that we get punished. Mercy is we avoid the punishment. And there's a way that we can do that, because salvation that comes only through Jesus Christ is a gift today. We all have blood flowing through our veins. It's what is inside of us that flows around our body. And in Leviticus 17, this is going back to the Old Testament, but Leviticus 17 and verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. So there is life in the blood. There's life flow in the blood. And I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. So blood was always used by the spilling of blood in the Old Testament, the sacrifice of animals, which caused the atonement to be made before God. Now, interesting enough, you may know this or you may not. If you're a medical person, you should know it. But medically, our natural body holds approximately 5 quarts of blood. Blood circulates around the body every 23 seconds, and it brings fresh oxygen in to replenish the blood and remove the impurities. That happens to every single one of us. It doesn't matter what color of skin you are. You could be brown, white, yellow. You could even be blue on a cold day. But inside us is blood, and it's all the same color. It's red. Now, I want to take us back just quickly and go over a few instances where we see blood used or misused in the Bible. The story of Cain and Abel, who were Adam and Eve's first children. And Cain offered vegetables. So this is going back to, you know, you've got free will, and so you make a choice. But Cain offered vegetables and the produce of his hands out of the ground to God as a sacrifice. Now, bearing in mind, God had required blood to be spilt as his sacrifice way. And then Abel, his brother, offered up an animal to be sacrificed with the shedding of blood. So Cain's, obviously, because it's not the way God does things, was not accepted by God, but Abel's was accepted, Abel's sacrifice, because it was blood-based was accepted. And jealousy rose up in Cain, and he killed his brother, and his blood was spilled on the ground, the first of human blood spilled on the ground. The first recorded murder was committed because religion over an unacceptable sacrifice. Jealousy came in, and they got the better of Cain, and Cain rose up and struck down his brother. So blood was spilled. Then we read about Noah in Genesis chapter 8, verses 13 to 22. I'm not going to take time to read that for sake of time, but you can read that scripture at your leisure. But it speaks again about Noah, who sacrifices animals once the ark had settled and they came out to start populating the earth again. Read it. It's an interesting story. So he was the one that built the ark, that floated in the water and then landed again on the earth. And all the animals that were inside were released, and the humans that were inside were released to repopulate the earth after the great flood that happened. Abraham is another character in the Old Testament, which we can read about. And Abraham led his only son up a mountain to sacrifice him on an altar to God by shedding his son's blood. Then an angel revealed a lamb in the thicket as he was about to plunge his dagger into his son's chest for a sacrifice. The Lord revealed to him a lamb in the thicket. Abraham was willing, but didn't have to, because he didn't have to sacrifice his own son, because God made a way and provided the lamb that was sacrificed instead of Isaac that day. And Abraham had a belief in God that right at the last minute, God would show up and turn the scenario around, which he did. Then we read about the plagues that hit Egypt when the children of Israel were in detention and under the rule of Egypt and Pharaoh during the years of slavery. And one of the last plague that came through the land, warning Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go, was what we recount as the angel of death that came over the land in one night. And it was to take all the male firstborns and kill them as the angel moved over the land. So how did you stop that from happening? Well, in Israel, the Israelites were warned by God. Now, you can get around this by killing a lamb, a young lamb, and use its blood to mark the sides and the lentils of your doors at the entrance to your home. And so the Israelites did this, and their firstborn sons were spared by the angel of death because he seen the blood and moved by. The houses of Egypt that had no blood, then the angel of death went in, and havoc wreaked overnight over a nation. In Romans 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates his love, his own love towards us, in that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. This is what I've said earlier. It's the greatest love story, the greatest sacrifice for mankind that has ever been done. And Jesus was the Son of God who came to earth and offered up his life as a pure lamb sacrifice on the cross. His blood was shed for us. By the shedding of his blood on the cross at Calvary, and by his death, and by his fulfillment of prophetic words about the event, and then on the third day, we said, he rose up out of the grave, victorious over death and sin. Jesus had rectified the problem that Adam and Eve had opened the doorway to back in the Garden of Eden. So God brought an atonement. God brought a remedy to the division that, because God cannot look at sin. So the division had brought this break between the link with man and God. And so Jesus was sent from heaven. He sacrificed his life in heaven to come to earth and to die, shed his blood, so that bridge that we could never cross over, Jesus became the walkover point. His death and resurrection became the way over to the other side, where freedom comes and life comes. And so Jesus created a bridge. He bridged the gap that man could never cross over by his own trials or his own merit. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through me. So anybody that tells you different today, they don't know what they're talking about, because the Word of God, who is Jesus, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through me. I'm going to ask you a question now before we carry on. Have you ever been to the cross of Jesus and had your sin forgiven? Think about it. So in the New Testament, because of Jesus' death and resurrection and the shedding of his blood, the believers, well, we celebrate that and we come together and we remember the sacrifice that Jesus did. The bread we use is the symbolic of the broken body, how it was, he was devastated, beaten beyond recognition. And then we take the wine as well as part of the communion celebration, and the blood is representative of Jesus. The wine is representative of Jesus' blood. So we take that in remembrance because we're giving thanks and giving God the glory for what he did, what he set in place, the atonement that was set in place at that time for us. And yet it's a free gift to us. All he requires is for us to say yes. Now, many of you have heard about the wild man in the New Testament who was the cousin of Jesus, and his name was John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist went around preaching and baptizing people, and he was declaring the whole time, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So he was declaring, before Jesus even met him to be baptized, he was declaring, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And today, by giving your life to Jesus today, you can have forgiveness of sin, number one. You can know that you're saved, number two. Number three, have the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus by accepting him. It's free. There is no strings attached. There's no hidden agenda behind it. It is simply that he paid a price to actually take sin away from you. But all he requires is an acknowledgement from you and a yes in your heart today. There was a Pharisee leader called Nicodemus, and he was so high up in the order, he was scared about being seen. So he sneaks to see Jesus at nighttime. And Jesus says to him, "Well, you know, Nicodemus, you must be born again." And that's the term we use when you hand your life over to Jesus Christ. When you say, "Lord, I'm tired of running it my way, and I give my life, and I say, come and live in me." That is what we use. It's called being born again. And in John 3 and verse 3, Jesus responded and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So Jesus was clearly telling Nicodemus that unless you are born again, that you're born of the Spirit, then you will not see the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is all around us. We are part of the kingdom of God. Everyone that has said yes to Jesus and asked him into their heart, we form the kingdom of God. And in that we have brothers, sisters, children, aunts, uncles. There is this community of people around the world known as the believers in Christ Jesus. So without the sacrifice or the atonement made, payment made by Jesus, there was no hope for the world. No hope for the world. The payment for sin was death. But the atonement made by Jesus Christ brings hope for the world. There's only one way to eternal life, and that is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master and asking him to wash away and remove sin from your life. He is the only one that can actually wash away the stain of sin that's in you and can wash it away from you. There is no one else. There is no other way to the Father or to eternal life except through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and acknowledgement in your heart for that. Without Jesus, there is no remedy for sin. With Jesus, there is hope, as he did conquer sin and death when he rose again from the dead. Worldly ways don't resolve this condition called sin. Today, you can bring any amount of gold, you can bring any amount of silver, but it will not save you. Today, you can bring all your good works before God and say, well, hey, look at me. I did this. I helped the poor here. I sowed into orphanages in Africa. You can have all these good works. It don't make any difference if you have never said yes to Jesus Christ and asked him to be your Savior. There's nothing we can do in ourselves to make this right. The Bible says that it is through grace you are saved and not of ourselves. And that word grace, over the years, people have taken it and they've just, with the letters G-R-A-C-E, it would mean God's riches at Christ's expense. His sacrifice opened that doorway. His sacrifice made the bridge that can walk man from separation with God across the bridge of Jesus Christ into relationship with the Father once more. He took all our failures and our sin to the cross and only asked that we give our lives to him for the free gift of eternal life that Jesus is offering today. This free gift of salvation cost God the sacrifice and death of his only son on the cross. John 3:16 says, and most of us know this verse, for God so loved the world, this greatest love story, that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Everyone means everyone. There's no way that anybody should lose out, but it's a choice you make. So Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, paid the price for sin. And through accepting him today as your Savior, we are given this free gift from God. You know, there's a story goes years and years ago. I remember hearing it when I was a lot younger, about a bus driver in Wales who had a bus full of people and was driving down this slope and then realized that there was a child running out onto the center of the road where he was heading towards, and he hit the brakes and the brakes were not there. At the left-hand side of the road was this sheer drop off this mountain road. And the bus driver was panicking and thinking, what do I do? I've got people on here and I've got one child. And he made the decision to hit the child and save all those in the bus. When they finally got stopped, the people in the bus ran back up after the man to where the child was lying dead on the road. They gave off to him. They were saying, why? Why did you do that? And he lifted this child up in his arms. It was your lives or my son's life. That's what Jesus did for you. He took your punishment and he made a way to come back into relationship with God. We can acknowledge Jesus today and ask him to wash away this sin and to come and live inside of us and to lead us as we walk through life with him. What sins are forgiven, you might ask? I'm telling you, all sins are forgiven. Every single sin. There is no sin under God's heaven that will not be forgiven if you come and ask Jesus to be your Savior. In the Bible, we see Moses. Well, Moses was a murderer. He killed the Egyptian and then ran and hid for 40 years. And yet he was second in heir to the throne in Egypt at the time. But God forgave him and took him back to Egypt to help be in the process of releasing God's people from captivity. David, a man after God's own heart, the Bible says, was a murderer and an adulterer. He sent this new woman's husband to the front lines so he'd be killed in battle because he desired her. And you think, oh my days, what are you thinking? Why did you do that? And yet, God calls him a man after his own heart. God forgave him and put aside his sin. Saul thought that he was justified. This is Saul in the New Testament. Thought he was justified because he was brought up in the law of Israel. And so he thought he was justified because these new believers called Christians or Christ's ones were rising up in the nation. But I'm from God and I've got an authority from God and I'm going to go out there and rid the world of these new radical believers of Christ Jesus. And so he felt he had the God-given right and justified to go do it until he had this encounter on the road to Damascus and he met his Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his life was radically turned around and he started on a new road and he never looked back. It's a turning around of your life. It is not a free gift, like a get out of jail card for free, and then you can carry on as you like with your life. That's not how it works. No, it is a new start, a slate wiped clean. It's a new journey where we never want to go back to the life we've had before. This gift cost God and this, the suffering of his son and his death on the cross. You know, the greatest love story, I've said, and it's the third time I've said it, but it is the greatest love story. He loves you no matter what you have done. His offer, it's your choice. His free gift to you today, it's your choice. You either take it or reject it. We go back in history and we look at a slave trader called John Newton. This guy shipped slaves across the world to the continents and probably seen loads dying on his ships through malnutrition and slaves, but yet he had an encounter with God. His life got transformed, turned around, because this slave trader met God, found his Savior, said yes to Jesus, and he ended up influencing William Wilberforce, who helped establish the abolishment of the slave trade industry around the world. He wrote the famous song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. You all know it. That was John Newton, a transformed man. We can be justified by the blood. And justified is just as if I'd never sinned. So what had happened, what you've done in your life, is washed away. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, just if I'd, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A way has been made. We make a decision to sit down on a chair. We do it every single day. We simply hope that that will hold us. Do you know, folks, that's a decision. It's faith. Because you take a step of faith, you might not realize that, but that step of faith is, well, I'll sit on this chair and because I'm pretty sure it's going to hold me. But you really don't know until you've tried it. We can trust in God by faith. That what he is telling us is the truth. And the only way to achieve this is to trust, to have faith in God, that what he is offering you today will be so. We can forgive someone who wrongs us. We can say, sorry, buddy, I know you did that to me, but I'm not going to hold it against you anymore. I'm not going to chase you down or take vengeance on you. But only God can justify us. God can wash away sin and sees us as forgiven due to the sacrifice that was made by his son Jesus. When we accept Jesus and his offer of this free forgiveness, then God, one, no longer sees your sin. Two, he no longer remembers it as well. The blood of Christ brings peace to you, peace between you and God. That bridge that Jesus, he bridges the gap, like he washes the blackboard of your life where everything was written about your life and seen and wipes it all clean. He gives you a fresh start. He gives you a new life. He says you are born again. You're transformed. You're in under the canopy of forgiveness that God gives you today. In Revelation, the last book in the Bible, chapter 1 and verse 5, we read there, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. That is Jesus, the one that releases us from our sins by his blood. Only one person can do that. And in verse 6, and he made us into a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. From a sinner into a priest and into connection in the kingdom of God, his family. You are and will be a new creation today. There is only one way, the way of the cross, the power of the blood, that makes us white as snow, washes every stain of sin away, and God never remembers it, and you get free. It's like someone takes a burden off your back, a heavy, heavy rucksack that you've been struggling with all through life, and it all of a sudden, when the presence of God comes in by your yes to him, it gets taken off, and you feel that lightness in your heart. You know, all the stuff you worried about and feared about is gone. God washes it all away. Praise God, there's an answer. There's good news. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, verse 19, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. In 1 John and verse 1 and chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, so he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all in unrighteousness. That's something you can take to the bank today, that once you say yes to Jesus Christ and you confess, Lord, I've been a sinner, he is said in his word, and he does not lie. He is faithful and righteous, and will forgive us our sins. So it will be a done deal when you say yes. You know, even in our modern world, our hospitals have blood banks. And, you know, if you're ever in an accident and you need an emergency, well, then thank God that there are blood banks available. When we get in the hospital, they have a bank of blood that they can draw on to keep us from dying. There's a heavenly blood bank today that is available to us at the cross of Jesus Christ if we only say yes to him. You know, we all know about heart operations. But, you know, for there to be a heart operation, there has to be two things that come together. One, there has to be a donor, and the donor is Jesus. There has to be someone that receives the new heart, and that would be your choice today, to take that new life, that new heart that Jesus is offering you today, washing away all of the past, making you free, free from all worry, all guilt, all shame, and allowing you to be a new creation in Jesus Christ. There's only one way to avoid sin and death, and that is to trust in God. You can trust in your own self, but that way is a sure way to fail. It's not going to work out. And I'm sure some of you are even thinking, well, up to now, it's not gone very well for me. Well, today is your day for change. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a what? A new creation. Listen to this. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So your own life, the minute you connect and say yes to Jesus Christ, your old life stops and your new one begins. Like I said earlier, it's like the blackboard of your life gets washed clean and you get a fresh start in life. Salvation is being offered to you today from Christ Jesus. He's offering you a free gift today. You have to say yes to the gift by saying sorry to God for the wrong ways, your sin, and allowing him to change your life and your heart today. Turn away from your old ways of doing life today and accept Jesus Christ into your heart right now. And if that's you today and you're watching online, I want you just to raise your hands right now as we come before Jesus Christ. I want you to actually repeat after me this prayer that you want to say yes to Jesus being your Savior. You want to say yes to your transformation of your old life in and stepping into your new life. Pray this prayer with me now. Lord Jesus, I give my life to you today. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean by your blood that was shed for me on the cross at Calvary. I surrender to you my life today and ask that you come in and dwell inside of me and lead me in your ways from now on. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've just prayed that prayer with me, I want to welcome you into the family of God. I want to welcome you as a brother or a sister into this glorious community of the kingdom of God, that you have now stepped over a line from a death life into a living life, into an eternal life where God will bless you, keep you, and watch over you. He said he will hold you in the palm of his hand and nothing will pluck you out. Amen. This is a love story, folks, and it's there being offered to you today. Now, another part that comes, when you give your life as you've just done to Jesus Christ, there is a second part that comes. He wants to empower you. He wants to fill you. He wants to come and dwell inside of you, live in you, and give his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be inside of you. So I'm going to pray for you right now. So lift up your hands again. I'm going to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, that gift that Jesus said he gives us today because of salvation, because you said yes to his life flow flowing in you. You said yes to the change of life. So Lord Jesus, I release Holy Spirit to fill them up with your presence right now, to come and dwell within them, Holy Spirit, to give them power to do good through the name of Jesus Christ. Fill them with your joy, peace, and righteousness. Come, Holy Spirit, with your power and fire upon them all right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Receive your infilling. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name. Your life has changed. Your life is never going to be the same again. Your life is no longer your old life. It's no longer yours. You've given it to Jesus Christ. You have stepped over a line today from the old ways, stepped over a line into the new ways of doing life. And that's doing life with Jesus as the guide, the leader, and the one who takes you through life in all its trials and troubles. Your friend, Jesus Christ, is going to be with you throughout the rest of your life. A faithful friend, one like you've never had before. And so we just bless you right now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, as we call this to a close this morning, we pray that the word of the Lord would go forth. It would not return without accomplishing what you're sending it forth to do today. And so we bless those that have said yes, even now, today, or those that will watch this in the weeks to come, that will say yes because of this message. Father, we say, bless them, overshadow them, watch over them, and lead and guide them through the power of the Holy Spirit in this new adventure, this new journey with you, Lord. So we bless today in Jesus' name. If you want to be in touch with us, you want to get to let us know that you've prayed that prayer with us today, well then, contact us on office@fathershouse.co.uk, all lowercase. Email us. Let us know the good story. Let us be able to make contact with you and to actually help you on your journey, to give you some stuff that will actually be beneficial for you, some literature and some stuff that will make life's change. And then hopefully if you're in this area, we can get to meet up. If not, we can maybe do a call online. So we want to bless you today, all of you, and we say, see you next time. Have an amazing Sunday. Have an amazing week. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.